of Sheffield. Today's date is January 22nd, 1998, and Mrs. Golem has kindly consented to give an interview for our oral history project. Thank you, Mrs. Golden. Begin with, I'd like to ask you some questions about your family background. For instance, who your parents were and where they were born, and why they came to Massachusetts from wherever they came from, and especially why did they come to Berkshire County. So if you want to sort of talk a little bit about your parents and who they were and their names and that kind of thing.
Well, my parents didn't live around here. Mm-hmm. They lived in Sharon, Connecticut. My grandmother, it was Mary Moran, and she was born in Sheffield, England. So she was a nanny to a lawyer in Sheffield, England, and so he wanted to come to Lakeville. So he came down through Canada, Newfoundland, and you know, years ago, they came down, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And coming down through, my grandmother, how in the world she ever met this Indian on this reservation, I'll never know. But anyway, somehow or other, they met. And Grandma came down here with Lawyer Warner, who was in business, had a business in between Lakeville and Salisbury. Well, I don't know which it was, Salisbury, perhaps. And Grandpa Mill followed her down here. But he was an Indian. He belonged to the Skateco tribe, you know.
And your grandmother was a white lady from...
And she was a white lady from England. Sheffield, England. Mm-hmm. So, of course, then they landed in, you know, different parts of maybe Lakeville and Salisbury. Well, and now Grandma had, she had Aunt Jess, Aunt Min, Uncle George, Albert, Uncle Albert, Aunt Minnie, and... she had one child that passed, and, you know, they lived in the area on Lakeville, on Sharon Road, from Sharon coming to Lakeville, on one of those little houses there. And then, I guess, Grandpa Milt was loading hay, fell off in the hayfield, so I'm told. And broke his back, and back those days, you know, they didn't know anything about mending any back, so he passed. And Grandma broke, you know, I don't know how old the children were. She had one young Uncle Jim, and he jumped on a wagon, and the cogs went right around, broke his leg, you know. But Grandma kept those kids together as long as she could, and they all sort of grew up together. And then she passed, and somehow or other, my father met my mother, whose name was Elizabeth Anthony.
And was he Indian or white?
No, she was a mulatto.
A mulatto.
Yes, uh-huh. And her mother... Her father was a black man, but her mother was French. So there is that mixture of Grandma and the Indians, and my mother with as a mulatto. And that's on my birth certificate, you know. My father's an Indian, and my mother's a mulatto. So that...
Now, when did they come here? To this part, I know they were in Connecticut. At what point?
They didn't come here. They never lived here. It was only Corny's people that lived here. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Golden. Mr. and Mrs. Cornelius Golden. Mm-hmm. And I met my husband through my Uncle Albert met the two Golden girls, Bessie and Abby, and through him, I met my husband. Cornelius. We call him Cornelius, but his name was Cornelius. So I have lived here, you know, for a period of 65 years.
Why did you come here? Or why you came? Did you come because you got married, or did you come because...
Yeah, I was married. I left from Sharon, and I went to live with an aunt in South Norwalk. And I left my boyfriend, he was at that time, I left him up here. I went on about my business. But he came to South Norwalk because that was Uncle Al was his uncle. And so with us being together like that, we were married. And in Portchester, New York. So then after Mr. and Mrs. Golden lived here, and so after a while, Corny and I came back up here, and Mr. Golden started this home for it. It was just a little box of a house, three rooms. But as time went on, Corny built on, so we had this, you know.
Do you know when that was? How many years ago that was when you and Mr. Golden came here to live?
Well, it must have been about 50 years ago. Because, see, my children were all, except Shirley Mae, they were all born from around, you know, in the hospitals, Canaan, Lake Barrington. Mm-hmm.
So it was probably more than 50 years then, did you say?
Oh, yes, of course it was, because Shirley Mae is 67 and Caroline's 65. Mm-hmm. And Shirley Mae was a baby. Mm-hmm. So you can see that I've been here many moons.
Many. As they say, yes. So then you came to this part of the country because your husband's family lived here.
Mm-hmm.
So when would you say it was also to help you get started in a job or just...
Yes, because after we came here... my husband got a job with Pete Strill, and they both were young people, and Pete built his business up, and Corny worked along with him and helped him build it up. So he did many different things. He put stones in the cemetery, and he put in foundations, and over a period of years, then Corny got interested in carpentry work. And we had a neighbor whose name was Mr. What in the world was his name? Well, anyway, he was a carpenter, so he taught Corny many things of how to read the rule, and Mr. Sibonella. Mm-hmm. And
that was here in Sheffield.
That was in Sheffield. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Corny then got so he could build houses on his own.
Mm-hmm. And Corny, so your husband, you called him Corny.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, and that was my husband. Mm-hmm. So he had built, he built about four or five houses here in Sheffield. And I went to a tag sale to two of these houses, which was close together, and I asked them how their houses were standing up. And they said, well, our house stands up very well. And I said, well, you know, my husband built this house, and the studs are just 12 inches apart. So, you know, Corny didn't know how to cut corners. So he put a lot of material in these houses that he built.
Make it sturdy foundation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very, very sturdy.
Yeah. Wonderful. Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, do you have any sisters or brothers?
I have one sister. And she's not well, you know, so she lives with her daughter, Emma Lou, New Jersey.
Oh,
that's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just, excuse me.
So then your family, some of your family have left the area. You said your sister lives in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all that I have. Well, I got a lot of other relatives, but, you know, those kids came up in the white world. So they don't wish to be mingled in with us, you know.
Yes.
So that's their choice.
Yes.
Who cares?
Right. Understood, yes. Mm. Did they live with you when you were growing up, though? These
No. They, my sister married a Catholic, so she turned Catholic. Mm-hmm. And back in those days, you know, the Catholic children played with the Catholic children, and they sort of were by themselves, you know.
Yes.
So really, my children, and they don't really know one another, mm-hmm. you know. That distance apart. That was their choice, so
yes.
they're welcome to it,
yes.
as far as I'm concerned.
Yes. That happens sometimes. So you were married then in Norwalk, Connecticut?
No, I was married in Forchester.
Oh, Forchester, okay.
Forchester, in New York.
Okay. Uh-huh. And how many children do you have?
I had eight,
mm-hmm.
but then I lost the three of them. So I lost Bob, Joanne, and...
I remember that very, very sad.
Yeah, John.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Yeah. John, that was a terrible... Mm-hmm. That was a terrible, yeah, the rest of them, you know,
really found
but
out
poor John, he was, you know, he got afflicted with the alcohol, and no matter what you said or tried to do, you couldn't change his mind around. So, you know, he left out of here sort of in a sad way, which really kind of broke my heart.
Sure did.
Mm-hmm.
They never really found out what happened. I know he was drowned.
Well, he drowned, I think this was what he planned himself anyway, you know, because when I talked to Dr. Blasey, he said, well, John didn't have any water in his lungs, so he couldn't have drowned. He thinks that he had a seizure. Mm-hmm. So he said the medical exam showed that he had very little water in his lungs. But, see, it was sad. But then the story went out around. It was awful that this one drowned him and that one drowned him. Nobody drowned. John drowned himself, you know. So it was sad. It was really, really sad. And it was really, really sad for his friend.
For his family.
Yeah.
For his family, for his mother.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, you know... And everybody seemed to know John,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yes, we saw him always around town.
Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was too bad that, you know, he couldn't see another side of life,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he didn't, so that's the way it went. And then, of course, my oldest son, Bob, was killed in an automobile accident, and then Joanne passed with tragic disease.
I remember the older son, too. John, was he in Connecticut, on Avon Mountain or something in Connecticut?
Who's that?
Your older son, John.
Bob was the oldest son.
Bob.
No, he was killed in an automobile accident in Hartford.
Yeah, I thought it was in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yes, I
uh-huh.
remember that. Some
uh-huh.
years ago.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I guess
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
So,
well, tell me about your growing up, your memories about, did you go to church gatherings or...
When I was a
time,
kid?
When you were a kid.
Oh,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. My mother, I was baptized in the Congregational Church. My mother and father both went to Congregational
mm-hmm.
Church.
Mm-hmm.
There I was baptized.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I played basketball and,
The high school?
No, down in Sharon.
Oh, in Sharon.
In
That's
Sharon,
because
I was from Sharon.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I lived
okay.
in Sharon
mm-hmm.
back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we got on as kids get on.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one special friend, but I'm poor Gert, her name is Gert, her maiden name was Gert Myatt, and her husband played in the Episcopal Church,
mm-hmm.
you know, thing. Organist there. But I haven't seen Gert for 2 or 3 years, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I wonder if she's still with us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Otherwise, all the rest of my schoolmates, I guess, are gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that does happen.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But all of your children sort of went to school here in Sheffield.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They all went to school in
mm-hmm.
Sheffield.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Some of them went to that, Shirley May graduated from the you know, center school,
mm-hmm.
which is now the library.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And Caroline from Mount Everett, And the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They all graduated.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So I got them that far.
Mm-hmm.
My parents weren't interested in them going to school, you know. They didn't think they needed an education. Mm-hmm. But I stuck to my guns, mm-hmm. and they all got their, right down to the grandsons, that two of them that I brought up, you know. And they're happy with a ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. But I got them through anyway, so that they were able to throw their caps up in the air. And now they have to say how thankful they are
to you. Oh. Are you a member of any sort of religious organization now, or any other
civic group? No, I am. No, I found that I go to the, once in a while, to the luncheons. Mm-hmm. Today was a luncheon Hans's used to be, Red Pepper, or what is that? Not Red Pepper, what is that?
I don't know, Hans's. Caesars? Was it Caesars? Not Caesars.
Yeah, that was Caesars. It's Hans's, yeah. And Caesars, yeah. And mm-hmm. Now it, well, it's a restaurant, I guess, and there's where the senior citizens went today for luncheon, but it was a roast beef sandwich or a chicken sandwich, and I didn't see $7 running uphill backwards, because I thought that was a little expensive for a sandwich.
For seniors.
Yeah.
For seniors.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That was, yeah. But occasionally you do go to some fairs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. And we all enjoy ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
I like to go because I like to look over the situation,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I myself are 88 years old, so
Are you real? I don't believe that. You are?
Yes, I'm born 1910.
Well, no one would ever know it.
Oh, my word.
No one would ever know it.
Oh, mercy. All these wrinkles.
Wow.
And I had to register. I had to get my license renewed.
Yes.
Yeah. And let me see. Margaret took me last Wednesday,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, honest and truly, they take your picture, and that first picture, I look just like an Indian squaw. I said to that one, oh, what a looking picture. and so she said, you want me to take it again? Because I was looking, so now I come up with a false, I guess, smile,
yeah.
But anyway. But somehow or other, they did a pretty good job of that,
mm-hmm.
Not too bad a job of, because
mm-hmm.
somehow or other, they rubbed out the wrinkles.
Oh, well, good for them.
Yes, yes, I got to show you this picture. They did, I was surprised to see it myself, because the first picture was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I told you all I know about my livelihood.
Well, no, you did say something. You had a special friend at school, but what else do you remember about your schooling? Like your going to school in Sharon?
Well, it was just an ordinary going to school.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, they burned the school down.
Oh,
you know,
really?
A couple of times they burnt the they call it a firebug or something.
That's good. That's
see,
very
they
nice.
Rub,
yes, I see.
They rub
yes.
the wrinkles out.
Very good.
Yeah, wasn't it? And that
that's
false
a new
smile.
Kind. That's a
just
new
too,
kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very nice.
Oh, get out of here.
But no, I would not have known. I would not have guessed that you were 88 years ago. Not at all.
So, well, here I am anyway,
yeah.
But I am so ashamed of myself.
Well, you shouldn't be at all.
I am,
yeah.
Because,
you
know,
shouldn't be at all.
You did say you was coming.
Yes,
and
but
when you called on the phone, I wasn't dressed, but I said, I better set the house to a little better shape than it is.
No, but I'm just coming to interview you, not to look at your house or anything else.
No, I know that, but, you know, you do have some pride. And
yes.
I've lost that by yes. not hurrying to put on some clothes.
No, 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 you're at home and being very comfortable. I would be interested if you can remember any of your school experiences at all, anything at all that might have light on what your life was like going to school in Sharon, Connecticut.
Well, it wasn't any different than what you would go to school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You went from first grade to right on up to And you just played around with the kids, and that was it. There was no special activities, only maybe basketball.
As you got older.
As you got older, mm-hmm. But that's it.
Was it just a one building from first grade to 12th grade? Or
the first one, mm-hmm. The first house, and the schoolhouse that, the one they burnt down, the boy burnt down. After a while, they rebuilt that school. And it's still, I guess it's still there as a school. I'm not sure. Uh-huh. I think it's got to be. I don't know of any other school in Sharon. Uh-huh.
Were they, what was the mix of children, white or mulatto or African-American? Do you remember?
There was only one girl. That when I went to school, there was just the two Caesars. There was Mary Caesar and Raymond. Mm-hmm. And then there was just Florence and I and my sister B. Mm-hmm. She went, while we were in the lower grades, B was the oldest, so she was in high school, mm-hmm. You know. And, but that was, it was a small community, mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. And you finished school there in
yes,
Sharon.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then Florence finished school. Mm-hmm. I was the flower girl for Florence. But it was just like a, no great activities. We mm-hmm. just had the, we had the opening of a school, which I think should all schools have. We had the teacher of Good Morning Boys and Girls, and we had the school prayer.
Yes.
And we also had to get up and say, each one of us took a turn, I think, in the morning, to every other morning or every morning, to say, I don't know what it was, but it was...
a Bible verse or something?
No, it wasn't. Well, it could have been a Bible verse, mm-hmm. And I remember one... his name was Eric Schultz, and I always remembered that because he'd get up and he was, you know, he was a big number guy, and his voice was always, honesty is the best policy, and you grew to be one of the biggest thieves. They ever walked in a pair of shoes.
Oh, so that was his facade. He was hiding behind that. Can you tell me something about the job that you've held throughout your lifetime?
Oh, yes. When I went to South Norwalk, I got a job. I was working when I got married, and then I came back here to Sheffield. And somehow or other, sometimes I took my kids with me. Sometimes my mother-in-law would take care of them. And, but I always managed to work in one place over a period of 20 years, you know. Mm-hmm. I never, like, it would be doing different things. Sometimes I cook. Sometimes I was a waitress. Mm-hmm. And then at the last part of these people that I did work for, which was, you probably know the Pell Dickinson Garage in Great Barrington.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, I worked for those people, mm-hmm. See.
Mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm.
Yeah, the garage. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then Mrs. Dickinson, she'd fall and mm-hmm. break her arm, mm-hmm. break her leg, bang herself mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. So I worked for them about 20 years, and then they moved away. They went to a seashore where they, you know, as kids grew up. And went to. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. So then I went from there to, where else did I go? Well, over a period of 20 years. Then I got, I worked for Mr. and Mrs. Ortag on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I worked for Mr. and Mrs. Overshire on the weekend. And now I'm here to Dr. Moore. And, you know, when I went to interview Dr. Moore, I didn't know that his wife was pregnant. And so I did accept the job. And I had said to her many times, you know, one thing, if I'd ever known you was pregnant, I would have never taken this job. But I was a nanny to Tyler. Mm-hmm. And he is one of the finest young men, that he's 14 now. He's going 15 years old. And Tyler is such a great person, you know. Yeah, when kids get 8, 9 years old, they become a little fresh. He never went through that. He never did, not because I'm partial mm-hmm. to him, but mm-hmm. that is the truth.
Now, this is Dr. Morris.
Dr. Morris Tyler.
Tyler. Mm-hmm. Well, I, the older son, Kevin.
Oh, yes, uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. I can't tell you what I think about that situation,
yes.
then, but, you know, mm-hmm. I could. Mm-hmm. His other, Dr. Moore had two other children, and they were really nice kids, too. There was Kevin and Lisa.
Yes.
And they were really, really nice
yes.
kids, too. He has three children that he can be very proud
yes.
of,
yes.
Dr. Moore can.
Well, I know Kevin. I don't know the daughter so much.
Oh,
Kevin. Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, going back to your childhood and teenage memories, any special games that you played?
Jack.
You played? Yes.
Yes. Oh, every recess, every noon hour.
Yeah. yes. Yes.
With that ball trying to grab them jacks
exactly.
without touching, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know if they do that so much anymore. And it's wonderful for coordination.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the children do that anymore or not.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
Then we had the glee club that I used to sing in.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Cross had that. He was the school music teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And he put on...
You can remember his name. That's remarkable.
Uh-huh. Mr. Cross?
Yes.
Yeah, well, and he was a very nice
mm-hmm.
man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, let me see. Outside of that, we were just children that played around
mm-hmm.
one another. We
mm-hmm.
played tag and we
mm-hmm.
played ball.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the ordinary things, not the school grounds never had to be supervised. We just went on to play.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And you played with the other children. There wasn't any separatism.
No,
children
no,
playing.
No, because there was only three of us Rice kids
mm-hmm.
and Mary Caesar and Mary. Of course, Mary was a lovely child, and she wrote that her graduation song.
Mm-hmm.
But that and then they gave it to another girl to sing. So, you know, I often think of that, and I thought how dreadful that was,
mm-hmm.
that girl wrote a beautiful, I wished I could remember it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lovely, lovely
mm-hmm.
song. And the music, whoever made the music, but to give it to somebody
mm-hmm.
else to sing.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that's terrible. Those are the things that happen to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about your teachings from your parents about, you know, parents always had children, certain values that they lived by. And
oh, yes. I can remember my mother always said to you girls, I'm going to tell you one thing. You keep these men at arm length.
That was number one, always.
Oh. I can always remember that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she just keep these men at arm length.
Yes. Yeah. That was always the number one lesson, if I remember correctly. Did they discipline you, or both parents, or neither parent, or one parent? Did they discipline you?
Oh, yes. We had our rules to live by,
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We all did, you
mm-hmm.
know. We had our chores to do. We had to feed the chickens, collect the eggs, you know, and feed the pigs. We all had our little chores to do, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't a farm, but you had, in those days, people did have farm animals around, didn't they?
Oh, yes, yes. Uh-huh. Back in those days, people took care of themselves. They saw to, you know, my father would always put in a barrel of flour, a barrel of sugar. His cabbages he put in the ground, you know, in a barrel. And you could always, whenever you wanted cabbage, go dig that out of the barrel.
All winter long.
All winter long. He always had put in his potatoes, and we really came up on apples because he was a person that would pick barrel for barrel, you know, a barrel for the people and a barrel for his family. So, you know, I just can't understand how people have such a hard time trying to get on today.
Well, they don't know how to take care of themselves in that respect, how to garden, how to prepare for the winter, how to plant and harvest. And we've gotten away from that.
Yeah, but I can't understand how that didn't happen from generation to generation, you know. There was no such thing as welfare. There was no such thing as you're on the town. You took care, the people took care of themselves. They took care of the older people. And so today, I just can't understand it. I just don't agree with what is going on, you know. I don't.
They got lost somewhere.
I guess so. You know, because it didn't seem to be such an awful, terrible, hard job. I know we had some neighbors, the Wagners, but, you know, you always helped them out when you thought that they needed it, you know, either a chicken or a few apples or a few potatoes, because Mr. Wagner worked on his farm at that time, and at that time you didn't get very much money. No.
I'm sure of it.
Mm-hmm. But he was a man that, you know, he somehow or other, he got lost, and he didn't plan as my father did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because of...
So your father was...
Indian, see?
Oh, yes.
And, you know...
And his ancestors had certainly handed
down. Yes, that was handed down to them, you know, to take care of their families, you know. Mm-hmm. So we fared out... You know, we were poor people, but I mean, we didn't have a lot of money, but our parents took care of us anyway, you know.
Did you have to help with the finances when you got old enough to go to work, as some families' children have had to do over the years?
No, because my mother passed when I was 17 years old, see. So, from, you know, I finished a school and then I went on my own. I took care of myself. All the rest of us took care of ourselves. And my father, he went on his merry way, so, you know.
Yeah. But then you kept in contact with him? Or?
At the last stages, he came here to live with me for a while, and then he was taken off with sick and took him to Sharon Hospital, and they sent him, Dr. Chaffee, sent him to New York, and he passed on in New York. So,
now, you said your family raised a lot of their food that you ate. Do you remember any special recipes that your mother used to prepare for you children, any special kinds of things that you really liked to eat or family would
do? Well, see, my mother was a very good cook, very good cook. So whatever she made, you know, we all ate it wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
You never. Well, of course you weren't. You better not put your nose up at anything. You better eat what's put on the table.
Yes.
So, but there was never anything wasted. You know, there's one thing, and I never. It's cabbage, and I love cabbage today, but I never learned to know how to do that sweet and sour cabbage that she used to, but I do know how to cream the cabbage, you know, and the coleslaw. So that went along with me. That's what I have
you
today.
Like, you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And those are some of your favorite kinds of food.
But my father had the pig, so. Back in those days, they tried the fat out for lard, and she used to take the pig ears and pig nose and make head cheese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He smoked his own hemp. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's the life that
I
knew.
Lived well.
You know,
yes.
Well, up until I was mm-hmm. 17.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you never feel as, you don't feel as though you had a hard life at all, even after when you were 17 and had to go out on your own.
Mm-mm. No. No way. None of us did.
Because you knew how to work.
No, we did our chores at home, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sister, Florence, who was as lazy as she could be. She never could do anything. So the rest of us had to fill in to do her work.
There's always one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any hobbies that you especially like to do? Anything?
No,
like
I crochet.
Like you crochet?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you always crocheted?
No. No, you know, I didn't learn how. When we was in school, we had sewing lessons, but I never, you know, profited by that somehow or other. Instead of paying attention to what was going on in school and in that sewing class, I think I fooled away the time, you know.
So many of us did.
Uh-huh. So, as the late years go on, you know, I just learned to crochet.
Mm-hmm. Are those some of the things that you crochet? Oh, wow,
that's
lovely.
It's a thumb on my
lovely.
Bed. I got a Christmas, a green, mm-hmm. red, and
Oh, that's beautiful. Lovely. Oh, I see that. Oh, those are lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend a lot of time then crocheting. Well, how did you learn to crochet? Do you remember?
Nancy Phillips. I tried to crochet her. Crochet from Nancy Phillips, but I didn't get very far with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Hattie Johnson, and there I, you know, along with the book.
Yes.
And I crocheted.
Well.
I made Sherry May one, I made Caroline one, I made Margaret one, I made Barbara one. And, you know, I don't go anywhere, this takes up my time, you know.
Well, there are very few places to go, especially in the evening.
Oh, yes. No. And I never, the rest of them around here, they seem to find their pastime in the gin mills, but I never did. Mm-mm. No. Mm-hmm. Corny used to go up to the grill all the time, but I worked, so I was tired,
retiring,
and I was
yes.
glad enough to climb the golden stairs.
And you had the family to raise.
Yes, yes. Right.
Yeah. Well, do you have any special memories or by some of the people you remember most in this area? Any memories of people who used to live here who were your friends?
Oh, dear, do we have a memory? Mrs. Coffin. I love Mrs. Coffin, but she was the most insultingest person. One time, but I just loved her to pieces, and Barbara too. And we often speak of her waves. Well, she had some waves, let me tell you. One time my father and Corny was standing out there in the garage, and Bob had beautiful, curly, curly hair, you know. It was sort of honey-colored hair. So she came along, and of course she was a drinking woman too, you know. And Bob was out there in the road playing, you know. And so she said to Corny and my father, and she said to Corny, and you know, she was the person that would do like this. And she said, "You got a lovely looking son there, Corny. He's yours."
Oh dear. Oh dear. Oh dear. Oh dear. So what did you say?
I didn't care what she said. No.
Oh,
that was some Miss Coffin,
yeah.
But she was something else. And, you know, and then she had her, Mr. Cosgriff used to give out the checks, old age checks, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
And Barbara was just saying the other day, she'd always wore this hat, you know, with the flowers on it. And she'd go to the town office, look for her check. And Mr. Constable would say, well, Lucy, I'm sorry the checks didn't come out. Call him every known name that was in the book.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that was some Miss Coffin, but I loved her dearly, you know.
What about any people who, or any black folks in the area who were well-known or famous? Did anyone ever come here, or other than, well, we know what people who were here maybe 200 years ago, like, you know, Mama
Well, yeah, but what about that?
Most recently.
They got a monument out there for, what was his name?
Du Bois.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
In
Great Barrington.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is in Egremont.
Egremont.
The
Boulder. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you go to that?
Yes, I did.
You did,
Many
huh?
years ago.
Oh,
1969,
yes. Uh-huh.
I think.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever meet him?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. Great Barrington. Did you ever meet James Weldon Johnson, who used to come to Great Barrington?
Who was that?
James Weldon Johnson, you know, the famous
No, I guess I didn't, you know.
Who wrote what is now called the Black National Anthem. He had a home on the Seekonk Crossroads.
Oh, really?
Barrington
in Egremont, wasn't he?
In, towards Alford.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
uh-huh.
For a number of years.
Oh, really?
And after he died, his wife maintained the home, summer home.
Uh-huh.
She used to come to
uh-huh.
with
uh-huh.
her sister-in-law.
Uh-huh.
So you never...
Well, the only real people that I knew Ines because Mr. Petty used to cut Corny's hair, you know. And I knew her just by going to her house
sure.
to have Corny cut his hair.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Mrs. Hale through her being a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And I just met Mr. Hale through Mrs. Hale as we were in school,
yes.
you know, in the stores.
Yes.
And then I met Edna and, Alice.
Mm-hmm.
And I also met those people in the stores,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I dearly loved to meet Alice
mm-hmm.
because she would always have something to say about the groceries, about
yes.
how high they were. Never buy anything different, she said. You only have money to buy the same thing right over and over again.
Yeah, she was like
oh,
that.
Oh,
uh-huh. Yes.
And then as the years went by, I got more and more acquainted with
mm-hmm.
Edna.
Mm-hmm.
She was a lovely, lovely
yes.
person.
Yes, she was. Yes. Well, Mrs. Golden, I wish to thank you for allowing me to come into your home to interview you for our Invisible Community Project. I will return in a week to take a picture, as we've discussed, and perhaps to follow up with any other questions that I might have. But I thank you again so very much. Mrs. Golden is a gracious lady who has been a widow for well over 20 years. She lives in a comfortably modest home on the outskirts of Sheffield with one of the two grandchildren raised. Her five remaining children live in various parts of Massachusetts and Connecticut. Mrs. Golden appears to be in excellent physical condition with a very good memory. She was most receptive to being interviewed. I did return in a week as promised, and I was able to take a photograph of her.